Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Hi, my name's Robert Cron. The people that the Lord puts you in touch with is awesome at times. They come into your life and they're true friends. Also, the church, how the church has been working in me, the friendships, the love, and everything that's come through all this for me, has just been magnificent, right? Caring people that you thought didn't exist anymore, really. The people in the church and the people in the groups that I go to, and just have been awesome people. I was new to the church here, and as I said before, they've made me feel really welcome and at home here. And anyway, I've been praying at home to God a lot and asking Him to make me as a young child so I could learn and understand. God answered my prayer. One day in church, I was making coffee, and I was coming up the stairs, and there was this young gentleman, Daniel Young, is his name, and he called my name, and he looked at me, and he says, "Bob, you don't have to worry anymore," he said, and he just smiled, and I just felt God's love coming through him into me, and it was awesome. It was awesome.
Or even when I came into church, the closer I got up front, the more this feeling of love came over me, just through communication and through talking with the people. They awe-inspired me. It was like God put these people there for me to see, and for them to see the Lord in me. I always ask the Lord to shine His light through me so others can see. God has been walking with me. I mean, truly walking with me in my life and helping me, and it's been an awesome experience, one that I thought I'd never have, but I do now in Christ.
Well, I think it's a powerful thing to hear from people within our congregation some of the ways that God has worked in their lives and really impacted them. And Robert, thank you for taking the time to sit down with me and record that testimony. That was wonderful. You know, this time of the year, more than most other times of the year, we're struck with this interesting thing where we come to church or we watch television shows, and what we see is all these things about these great miracles, right? These big, what I would call heavenly visitations. And so you look at the story of Jesus and of the shepherds and of the wise men, and we're just inundated with all these people who are seeing angels and having God really showing up, really apparent to them. And maybe it starts to tweak something in us a little bit, and we go, wait a second. So here we are, we're reading all this stuff about these miraculous events where God shows up. And I just got to wonder to myself, why don't I see that now? Or where in my life is God actually working? How is He speaking to me? Stories like Robert's help us to realize that God is still at work with us. Now, He may use angelic visitations. You never know. That still happens. He may speak to us through the Bible. The Holy Spirit may do the speaking within us, or He may use other followers of Jesus to speak into our lives, like He sent little Daniel Young a couple of years ago to speak to Robert, like He told us there. And so for many of us, as we look forward to the end of 2017 and we look at 2018 about to begin, a lot of us have decisions we have to make. Right, you know how it is. You're coming to the end of a year and you're starting to think to yourself, okay, what's the next year going to look like? Or how did this year go, and what things can I do differently? And I don't know exactly what your decisions look like, or what, honestly, I don't even know what my decisions look like half the time. So it's okay there, but most of us have decisions to make. And some of these are going to be big decisions, and some of them are going to be small. Some of them are going to be easy decisions where you just say, well, the obvious choice is this one, and this is the direction I'm going. But some of them are going to be really, really challenging decisions, ones that really tie you up in knots. See, at various points in all of our lives, we've felt stuck as we've tried to make the right choice in difficult situations. We've been looking at what is before us going, I don't know which way I should go. I don't know what I should do. Should I do this or should I do that? If I do this, then this may happen. But if I do this, then this may happen. And we feel like there's no good way out. You know, in my own life, in the last few years, I've had to make tough choices about breaking off unhealthy friendships, about my profession, about my children, and many other things. And these choices haven't always been easy for me. Listen, frankly, I've been crippled by trying to make these choices. There have been times where just trying to think them over, I get caught up in this kind of loop in my head, unable to determine what the right way forward is. But you know what? God was there with me in the midst of making those decisions. And I believe that we can all have God working with us and working through us, providing guidance and encouragement in these challenging moments. He does. Many of us have seen it in many different ways, and it's been interesting as I've been trying to gather people to do these testimonies for all of you to see how people will say, well, you know, I had this thing happen. It's testimony, but it doesn't really seem like it's God showing up. And they tell me these stories, and I'm like, man, that is God showing up. That is God working. And so I think oftentimes we ignore the supernatural in our lives because it doesn't look like some angel appearing in front of us. But you know, God is still there, and he's still helping us, even in the midst of these difficult and challenging circumstances. If you have your Bibles with you today, you can turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be looking at that this morning. Please don't put it on the screen yet because that's not all of it. You can go back one slide, please. We're going to be looking at this here. If you have your mobile device with you and you'd like to follow along with today's message, you can go to ascc.life and tap on the message notes tile and take your own notes there and see everything that we're going to be talking about and have a reference for later and where we're going and all of that. But you know, Matthew chapter 1, it provides us with some important Christmas time insights on God's presence and help. As we read Matthew chapter 1, I can picture Joseph and Mary, you know, this young couple betrothed to be married. Now, betrothal in those days, it wasn't like now where, you know, you just put a ring on it. That wasn't the way that it worked. Instead, it was two families would figure out who they wanted their children to marry, and then as they'd go forward from that point there, it was legally a thing that happened. You were legally betrothed to be married. In fact, to call off a betrothal, you had to get a certificate of divorce. So basically, you were married, but you hadn't gone through the ceremony, and you hadn't consummated anything yet. That's what betrothal was. And so Mary and Joseph, they're betrothed to be married, and I can just picture in my mind Joseph just so excited for a day where he's going to go and hang out with Mary. And so he makes his way down to the little village, into the house where Mary lived, and him and Mary, they start to walk down the road together, and he feels like everything is just so wonderful, and he can hardly wait to call her his wife. And then she looks at him, and she says, she must have said something like, Joseph, I've got something I got to tell you. Now, those are words that depending on how you say them, can either be really good or they can make your stomach just go, hey. And I'm sure that the way that she looked at him and said this, it was probably the latter. You know, there he is, his stomach is twisted in knots, and Mary tells him, I'm pregnant. Now, in those two words, Joseph's world was shattered. See, Joseph and Mary had never done anything of a physical nature. And as far as he had known, Mary was a virgin. And so for her suddenly to be telling him that she was pregnant, he was like, who's the other guy? And so then she starts talking about, well, actually, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit has conceived this child in me, and he's going to be the long-awaited Messiah. He's going to be the anointed one of God. And you know, if Joseph is anything like me, he was probably thinking, you know, Mary, you're a nice girl. But just because you made a mistake doesn't mean you have to lie about it. You know, like who's going to believe that? There's this 12, 13-year-old girl. She's like, yeah, I'm pregnant, Joseph. And by the way, it's by the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be the Messiah. Uh-huh. Yeah, fat chance. And so he's going away, and I'm sure he's like, I need some space. I got to think about this. Don't tell me who it is, because I'm going to do something bad if you actually tell me who it is, who the father is. And so he goes back home, and he's got to figure things out. See, we're told in Scripture that Joseph was a very righteous and upstanding man. He desperately wanted to do what was right. And in his day and age in Jewish culture, by law and by cultural practice, if a woman was found to be pregnant outside of marriage, there was supposed to be a divorce that happened. You were not supposed to stay with that person. In fact, if you go back into the Old Covenant law, she was supposed to be stoned to death. And so there's Joseph, and he's trying to figure out, like, you know, law and custom says I need to divorce her, and you know, I can't have somebody else's kid, because that's going to really mess up the whole inheritance thing, because then what goes to my kids versus this other guy's kids if I adopt this person, and I'm not sure what's going to be going on. And he's like, and then she must be going a little bit insane, like, do I take that into account, because she's talking about the Holy Spirit making her pregnant even though she's a virgin? Like, I don't get this stuff. What's going on? At the same time as he's thinking, you know, law and custom says I have to divorce her, he's probably also going, but I love this girl. You know, and I don't want to ruin her life by publicly shaming her. And, you know, thank God that we don't stone people to death for this very often anymore. But I just don't want her to have that stigma around her. Maybe her options will be more open if I just divorce her quietly. And so this was the decision that Joseph kind of had come to, but he's like, you know what, I'm going to take a bit, and I'm really tired after all this, and so I'm going to go to sleep. And so Joseph went to sleep, and then we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Joseph woke up, because that would be the end of the story if he didn't. And that was a joke. So Joseph wakes up, and he's like, what just happened? See, if you don't laugh at my jokes, I'll make you laugh at my attempt at making a joke. It's that's the way that I work. So he wakes up, and he's like, what just happened? Now, I don't know about you. I've never had an angel appear to me in a dream before. But I've had weird dreams. And so, you know, usually when I wake up from weird dreams, I'm thinking, now, what was the deal with that dream? Like, there was something going on there. But I think for Joseph, just based on what he does, there must have been something that stayed with him, because he gets up and he's like, whoa. Like, something about that was different, and I need to listen to it. And so he's obedient. He goes and he doesn't divorce Mary. He marries Mary. And then they get together. But the interesting thing is recognizing the significance of who this angel has told him that she's going to give birth to, that actually it is the Holy Spirit that helped conceive this child, not in some weird Greek mythology way, but just in an overshadowing, mysterious way, developing this child within the virgin girl. And that this child was going to be the anointed one of God, the savior of the world. And so he determined that he wasn't going to have any physical relations with Mary, even after they were married, until this child was born. That's dedication, you know. Again, come on, people. Anyway. And so he marries Mary, and they hold off doing anything, and then the child is born. And what's interesting is the text is very clear that Joseph named the child Jesus. That's significant. See, if it had said Mary named the child Jesus, that would have been a break from custom. It also would have possibly meant that Joseph never really adopted Jesus as his own. But by Joseph being the one who named Jesus, Joseph was looking at Jesus and saying, I am adopting you as my son. And so not only was he obedient, but he took Jesus into his family. See, in Jewish custom, your family was determined by who your father was. And the Messiah was supposed to come from the kingly line of the tribe of Judah. This is the line that the Messiah was going to come through. And Joseph just so happens to be from the line of Judah. And so when Joseph, remember, Jesus doesn't have an earthly father. But when Joseph, as a human father, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when he adopted Jesus and named him, he made sure that legally, Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't actually know what tribe Mary's from. And so it's possible that Jesus by blood is actually from the tribe of Judah. However, officially, it required Joseph adopting Jesus in order for him to be seen as truly from that tribe. And so this here, it's a fulfillment of prophecy by Joseph accepting Jesus as his son, accepting him into the tribe of Judah. See, God provided Joseph in this time of turmoil with guidance and encouragement. I mean, that must have been at that point one of the most traumatic experiences that Joseph had had to endure. The most difficult decision that he had to make up to that point, and God provided direction to him. Will you join me in praying before we move along, just to help us to kind of focus and let the Holy Spirit work in us as we're listening and as we're sharing and deliberating today. Lord God, I just ask this morning that you will work in us. Lord, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to us. And thank you that we're able to have this Christmas season. No matter the stresses that can be involved and the whole thing with, you know, family that may not get along and all the things that can happen, spoiled children, Lord, spoiled adults, whatever it is, Lord, just help us to be able to focus on the true reason for this season, which is the gift you've given us in Jesus. God, help us to really listen to what you have to say to us today. You know the things that are going on in each of our lives, and so just begin to address those right now, Lord. And I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you will make them something that's worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As we dig into this and we begin to look at this idea of being guided, there's one point that I have to make. I would be just completely remiss if I missed this point. And so I want to make sure that you all understand this. And that is that Jesus came to save you and be with you if you believe. There is no one point that is more important today for you to hear, but that Jesus came to save you and to be with you if you believe. See, every single one of us has fallen away from what we were originally intended to be. God created us. God, the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, created us to be in relationship with him and to be these people that ruled the world under God's kingship. But instead, the first man, the first woman, they chose that they wanted to raise themselves to the level of God. And succumbing to the temptation of the serpent in the garden, they ate the one fruit that they were told they couldn't have. And because of that act of disobedience, listen, it wasn't necessarily a magical fruit. It was because of their disobedience and their desire to become like gods that they did the ultimate act of betrayal against their king. They committed treason. And since that time, every human being at some point in their life rejects God and turns their back on the one that created them and commits treason against God by setting themselves up as their own king, as their own God. And so there was this gap that existed between humanity and God. But the interesting thing is that throughout the Old Testament, and this is why I firmly believe we all need to read the Old Testament, we see that God is sitting there and he's like, come back to me. I love you guys, come here. And he's sending people to them and like, just listen to my prophet. Listen to what I'm saying. Come back to me. I want a relationship with you. I want to give you life. A connection to me. And humanity just kept on moving along and kept on rejecting God and rejecting God. And so finally he said, you know what? Instead of just pursuing you, I'm actually going to come and be among you. Instead of sending you these prophets time and time again and you killing the prophets, I'm going to send my son. I am going to come and be with you. And with Jesus, when he was born, fully God and fully man, he lived a divine life, a perfect life. And yet Jesus, that perfect and innocent man, died the worst kind of death that existed in his day and age, dying on a cross. The most innocent died the most horrific way. And as he did that, he took upon himself the consequence for our treason. And all he says is, you just have to believe in me. You just have to place your trust in me. And God forgives you. Because he loves you and he wants nothing more than for you to accept this gift that he has given to you, freely given it to you. He just says, you're welcome to come back into my kingdom. So Jesus came to save you, but he also came to be with you if you believe. Now, if you're paying attention and maybe you know the Bible really well, you might be thinking, you know, you say that Jesus came to be with us, but I know my Bible and Jesus left. You know, Jesus died and he rose again and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven where he is right now. And so he left. But you see, Jesus has left the Holy Spirit within you to guide and comfort you when you ask. Let me give you a little bit of theology here. We serve one God who exists eternally in three persons. But those three persons are not three gods, but they are one God, coexistent, co-eternal, of equal substance and essence. It's mind-boggling. Praise God. And so God the Father and God the Son, who is Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. These are the three persons of God. And so Jesus leaves earth and he sends the Holy Spirit to live in all who accept Jesus. And so, yeah, okay, Jesus came to be with us and then he left, but then he sent the Holy Spirit because whereas Jesus could only be in one place, when the Spirit of God is here, all who believe in Jesus can have God with them. And so there's the Holy Spirit, and he's with you, and he will guide you and comfort you when you ask. So you can have confidence that the Holy Spirit will guide you as you prayerfully make your decisions. Sometimes he's going to speak almost audibly. I've had that happen once or twice, and it's a crazy thing when suddenly there's like words spoken in your brain, you know, your inner voice. Suddenly the voice is a little bit different. And it speaks a little bit more eloquently about things that you haven't even considered before. And you're like, ugh. And you know, I've had that happen twice in my life. And it was dumbfounding. But that's not always the way. In fact, it's not usually the way that the Holy Spirit works. Sometimes it's just a feeling. Or sometimes you'll be reading your Bible. I hope that you all, if you're followers of Jesus, are reading your Bible. Sometimes you'll be reading your Bible and the Holy Spirit will just like put bells and whistles and lights around something and you're just like, bang, it hits you in the face as you're reading it and you go, this is for me. This is what he's saying to me today. Sometimes it's some, you know, 30-year-old pastor that's standing up there and he's speaking to you and you're like, he just made a joke and it was so dumb. And then he says something else and God's like, that's the thing that you needed to hear. You never know. He can work through me too. And sometimes he sends someone into your life like he did with Robert, sending Daniel in there to tell him exactly what he needed to hear at exactly the right moment. And other times it's just going to be subtle. And as you step forward prayerfully and desiring to honor God And as you trust that God's will is being done in you as you go forward in the decision that you feel is right, quite often that can even be the Holy Spirit guiding you in that step. So you can have confidence that when you ask for help and do the best you can to live for Jesus, that God will work things out according to his plan. You can have confidence that when you ask for help and do the best you can to live for Jesus, that God will work things out according to his plan. I know that sometimes it can feel like you're going to fail just by default, but that's not the way that it's going to work. Romans 8:28, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." Now, that doesn't always mean that you're going to find the situation comfortable, that you're going to like the way that it turns out. In fact, sometimes you may actually really not like the way that things turn out, and you have to trust God and place your trust in him that even though you don't like the outcome now, that there's something greater on the horizon. See, your life is very much like a really big book, and your time here on earth, it's like just the prologue. You know that thing that only half of people that read a book actually read because they don't find it all that important? Our life here on earth is practically like the prologue. And so what you do in the prologue, it sets the stage for the rest of your existence, for eternity. And so we need to be living now, and we need to be stepping out in faith now and following Jesus now. But listen, even when things are going wrong and you're like, man, I thought I did the right thing, and now all this junk is happening in my life and it's so difficult, take heart and know that you're just living the prologue right now. And that there is a book that is eternity, that will tell the story of your life through eternity. And the great thing is that there's no end to that book, because eternity is eternal. See, no matter the situation, when you make a decision prayerfully and trying to honor God through that decision, you're not alone. God is with you. At various points, we all will face difficult circumstances that require impossible decisions. But what a powerful thing to have Jesus on our side and to be able to have a relationship with him. And yes, most of us are not going to have angels telling us exactly what we need to do while we sleep like Joseph did. But James gives us this promise in James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. You might be thinking, what on earth does that mean? And here's what it means, and I hope that you'll write this down today. Whatever decision you're trying to make right now, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, sleep on it, and make your choice with confidence. Whatever decision you're trying to make right now, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, sleep on it, and make your choice with confidence. See, if you've followed Jesus, you've been promised that God will give you wisdom when you ask. And so when you ask God, allow him to give you wisdom in the situation that you're in. Sleep on it so that you can process it and really know, okay, this is the thing that I'm supposed to do. And then when you know what you're going to do, instead of going, oh, but what if it is the wrong choice? Just go, no, I prayed about it. God promises that he's going to give me wisdom. I slept on it. It's the right thing to do. And so I'm stepping confidently into it without doubting. And that is the way that the Holy Spirit leads us. Whatever decision you're trying to make right now, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, sleep on it, and make your choice with confidence. Have confidence that your prayerful decision will be the right one and that God is going to work it out for good. That's what Joseph had to do. He had maybe more of a profound experience than a lot of us do, but he still had to go, was that dream real? And he still had to take the steps to obey, however difficult they may have seemed at the time. Because listen, there were a whole lot of people that were probably thinking that, you know, Mary and Joseph couldn't wait through their betrothal, and so they shacked up ahead of time, and that's the reason why they had to get together. And so it cast a light on him too by doing that. But he listened, and he made a decision with confidence. And praise God, he made the one that he made. Will you join me in a word of prayer as we close this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son. I thank you that you are with us. and that we can have life because of you. Thank you for bringing us forgiveness, Lord Jesus, and thank you that we're never alone when we follow you. Today, Lord God, I ask that whatever situation that we are dealing with, Lord, that we will seek your help and that you will guide us. Give us confidence in the choices and the decisions that you help us come to, Lord God. And Lord, I ask that for those that are in a place where they really need something profound, that you will reach them profoundly, Lord. Give someone a prophetic word for them. Give someone just a desire to help them in some way. Visit them, Lord God. Speak to them. Help them as they read their Bible to really just see the truth. But Lord, even if those things don't happen, I ask that we'll be able to step forward confidently into what you have for us. You all know the things that are going on right now in your life, and so why don't you just begin to pray right now and ask him to be working in those situations. And while you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to address anyone here today that hasn't accepted Jesus as their Savior.